The following message from Bible teacher and pastor Jim Crabb is brought to you by Imago Dei Christian Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
I'm in John chapter 6 today, and I really, this is a simple truth and one that we've looked at. I know most of you know this chapter, but I was prompted, look at John chapter 6 today and look at these things. I want to show you today what I think is the most under-preached miracle in the Bible. That's a big statement, isn't it? I think it's the most under-preached and under-appreciated miracle in the Bible. But it's yet it's laying there as clear as the nose on your face, but it's under-preached. We miss it because, you know, how many know sometimes when you get into the Bible, it's like you just step over gold and you didn't know it was there. And then, but you missed it because you're looking for gold and there it is right there. It's kind of like a woman that tells the man, I don't know if this is true in your house, it's true in my house. If I'll go to the cupboard and I'll be looking for something and I'll look in there and I'll holler at Sarah, where's the such and so? And Sarah will say, it's right there and it's in that cupboard. You're standing right there. It's in there. And I sit there and stare at it and I'll look and look and move stuff around. And I'll say, no, it's not. It's not in here. And she'll say, yes, it is. Huh? Are men like that? Yes? What's the matter with men like that? Huh? And then finally I'll get aggravated and say, I'm telling you, it's not here. And finally she gets so aggravated at me being aggravated, marches down there and walks, opens the cupboard and goes right to it. And it was looking right at me there. And I was like, man, that's a miracle. That wasn't there a minute ago. Huh? That's a miracle. Yeah. Then she storms off and she's like, oh my God, how long have I been with you, Jimmy? Hallelujah. But, you know, that's the way we are with sometimes some of the greatest things in the scripture. It's like we're staring right at them and we walk right over them and they're right there and we miss them. And I think this is like, so this is for all the brothers today. This is the thing for the brothers today. John chapter 6. Think of me next time you guys get in trouble telling your wife it's not there, man. Amen. John chapter 6, and let's look at, let's begin in verse 5. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He said to Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? So there's a big crowd of people. I've been to Israel, and the times I've been to Israel, we always, around the Sea of Galilee there. We got to go to Israel together. We all need to go. We need to charter a plane or do something, man. It'd be more fun if we all went together. And maybe we'll do that pretty soon. But around the Sea of Galilee is one of the most beautiful places in all the world, in my view. The first time I went to Israel, I don't know what was the matter with me. I didn't want to go to Israel for a long time. I didn't care that much about going to Israel. Well, I was deceived about that. I didn't know what I was missing. But man, when I got up by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus met me up there. He really did. I had an encounter with God by the Sea of Galilee there, and especially up around the little region around the lake that's called Capernaum, where Jesus lived one time. But right in that area there, up on the hill, there's the hillside where all these people gathered together unto him. And so there's all these people there, and Jesus said to Philip, where shall we go that we may buy bread so that all these people can eat? Hallelujah. I think that every time I come to preach. Man, we got to feed these people. These people need to eat. We can't have these people get together and not eat. I've been in church. I've been in great services, lousy services. I've conducted some great services. I've conducted some real losers. Huh? I told you the time I was standing at the front door, and every once in a while, you know, we'd go to the back door and shake folks' hands as they were leaving, and everybody comes by and says their greetings or goodbyes, and good to see you today, Pastor. Nice word. I remember the guy, I was standing at the front door. He came by and put his hand out, and he said, "Nice try, Pastor. Hallelujah." Hey, man, he was giving me an attaboy because he knew I missed that ball, but he, you know, it was like the sweetest way to tell me, man, you just struck out, bro. But it was all right, man, because I knew I struck out. Huh? But I'll tell you, the most important thing when we come together is that we eat, that we get fed. That's why we're here. Really. I hope you meet friends and make acquaintances and have fellowship and all these things. But at the end of the day, Jesus taught one time to John, didn't he? He told him, he said, "Do you love me?" In the book of John, it said it about Peter. "Do you love me?" "Yeah." "Well, then feed my sheep." Helping people eat is critical. We can't just have a crowd. I've been in crowds of people. I've been in church where there's thousands of people and everybody's there. It needs to eat the word and we got nothing. It's imperative that we receive the word and give people something to eat today. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "Where are we going to buy bread that these people may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. How many know when Jesus asks you a question, he already knows the answer to it? He's asked me a lot of things, and I used to try to come up with some great answer. I know this. He already knows the answer. He knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them. In other words, we've got 200 penny worth. That's how much money we have. And if we spent all that money buying bread, it wouldn't be enough bread to feed all these people. That every one of them may take a little. In other words, we couldn't buy enough bread to feed all these people. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, "Well, there is a lad here." You know, when you don't have enough, God always has a well. Well, whew. I just helped myself right there on four or five things in my life. Because that's when I'm looking at these things in my life, I don't know what the answer is. There's not enough there to take care of the problem. But praise God, there's always something that is in my life. Well, we don't have enough money, and there's a whole bunch of people here, but I'll tell you what, we do have a lad here. In other words, a lad is we got a little boy here. Who would have thought to feed all these people, 25,000 plus people sitting on that hillside, and somebody would raise their hand and say, "I know we don't have enough, but I'll tell you what we do have. We've got a little boy here." Isn't it like God not to use a big, strong entrepreneur businessman in an Armani suit carrying a leather briefcase to come in and say, "Well, I'll take care of this." There's a little boy standing there, and he becomes part of the answer. You know, there's always something in your life that you don't know that God can use, but that can become part of your answer, man. Sometimes the most insignificant thing can become the answer. When Samuel came to looking for the king, the next king, they brought him the oldest. They brought him the best and the biggest of all of the family of Jesse. But all of those together weren't enough to equal. And he said, is that all you got? He said, well, it's almost like in this verse. Well, we got one more young lad, but he's just the youngest, and he's, you know, talking about David. Well, there is a lad here. I want to tell you something this morning. There is whatever in all of your problems in your life, there is a lad. There's a lad in your life. That's not just for the single girls either. I'm telling you right now. In other words, the lad, meaning there's something in your life that God can use that you're overlooking that you think is insignificant. There's a lad there, and I like this. It said, there's a lad here. He's already in here. We don't have to go find a lad. We don't have to go get a lad. I'm telling you, there's already a lad here. Shout out loud, there's already a lad in my life. There's something in your life. There's a little thing that you're missing in your life that God's going to use to bring an answer. It's already in your life. He's already there. He's already been standing around. You've just missed him. But thank God that Philip said, or Simon Peter's, Philip said, there's a lad here, and you know what? This lad's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Now, so we found out we got 200 penny worth. That's not enough. Now Philip says, well, there's a little lad here, but all he's got's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But the 200 penny, if you took 200 penny worth, took 200 penny worth, went to town, bought all the bread. Then we took this lad and his loaves and fishes. It's still, what would all that be to feed all these people? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. So he took the lad's loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. So Jesus takes what the lad gave him. So the lad brought it and gives it to him. He takes it, gives it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would, or as much as they, you know, my translation says, as much as they wanted. So, in other words, you know, I mean, how many fish did he have? 2 fish. I don't care if you got a big fish. If you start, now I don't even want to think about it, but if you start, you know, I guess we're eating raw fish. It's sushi day on the hillside with Jesus, man. You start breaking the fish apart. And, you know, this is how we would think. We'd look around and see all these thousands of people there, and we'd think, well, we only got 2 fish. So Sarah handed it to me, you know, I'd be like, well, we've got to share this. So I'm gonna take a little bitty nibble off this. That's the way we live most of our life. We're just taking, well, there's not enough to go around. We want to make sure everybody gives something. So let me break off this little piece right here. Huh? No, the Bible says when they started sharing that fish, it says when they broke that fish, they all took as much as they wanted. Well, how much do you want? I want enough to fill my belly. Can I hear amen? Amen. Hallelujah. In other words, so right there was a gold nugget. Man, God wants to give you more than just a little nibble of blessing today. He's trying to fill your belly, spirit, soul, and body. He's trying to bless your life. Quit trying to just nibble. Most believers are just nibbling their way through their Christianity. And verse 12 says, and when they, look at verse 12. And when they were filled, all those thousands of people, when they were filled, that's the way we ought to have enough of the word and the move of the Spirit, the power of God, the feeding of the Holy Ghost all the time, that we got enough that, bless God, we're all filled when we go home. We don't just nibble. We're taught by the pastor, bless God, don't just nibble around the things of the kingdom. Just take as much as you want, because there's always enough to go around to everybody. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that are remaining, that nothing be lost. In other words, that sounds like a Jesus verse to me, that not only do we not have to nibble, we can take as much as we want, and we all know this, we better have a team ready at the end of every time we get together and eat, because there's always going to be stuff left over. In other words, Jesus is going to give us more than we are believing him for. I'm still not to my miracle yet, so don't think I'm there yet. We're not there yet. Gather up the fragments that remain. In all of my life, Sarah and I are believing God. That's the way we're going to live. There's going to be enough, and there's going to be leftovers. Gather up what remains, that nothing be lost. In other words, bless God, this will still go on and on and on and on and on. Therefore, they gathered them together, and they filled 12 baskets and the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. That's a cool day right there. All these thousands of people, we got a lad and, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and we feed everybody, and we got 12 baskets left over. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come, take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain alone. And when evening was come, his disciples went down to the sea. So Jesus goes up by himself. The crowd's gone home. When evening was come, his disciples went down to the sea. And they entered into a ship, and they went over the sea to Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus wasn't come to them. So Jesus is still up on the hillside praying, isn't he? By himself. They get in the boat. They're heading toward Capernaum, but it's dark, and Jesus wasn't there yet. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And when they, now here we go, here's my miracle now. This is the most, I'm telling you, I think you'll agree with me. This is the most under-preached and underappreciated miracle in the entire Bible. All right, so get the picture. They're out going across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus not on the boat. A storm raises, the wind blows, right? And by reason of a great wind that blew. Verse 19. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, drawing near to the ship, and they were afraid. So they're in the middle of a storm. What are they doing? They're doing a people thing, man. They're doing a human thing, man. We're rowing. That's what we do. That's what we do when we get in trouble, man. We think the answer to everything is row harder. You know what we're gonna do? We're gonna outrow this thing. We're gonna hurry up. We're gonna We're just going to put more human effort in it. We're going to row harder. You know, sometimes your answer to your financial thing is not get another job. Sometimes it's believe God and pray more. But sometimes we want to row harder. Row harder. Row faster. We're yelling at each other. Come on, row harder. The storm's going to get us. Row harder. You know what? That's okay, you know, maybe for a little while. But you know what, man? As long as some of us been rowing, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you. I'm tired of rowing. I'm tired of just putting more human effort in it. I'm tired of just saying, we need more of this. Sometimes we need to go beyond. Let's row faster and harder, man. And Jesus comes and shows up in the middle of that, didn't he? So when they had rowed about 5 or 20 or 30 furlongs, which I've looked this up, and it's really, they were about halfway across the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee is not, you know, it's not an ocean. I mean, it's like a, you know, you can see from one end to the other, you can see all the quadrants, north, south, east, and west. If you stand on the shore at the Sea of Galilee, you can see around that thing. But they were halfway across. It's dark. And Jesus, in the bad storm, Jesus comes walking up to them, and they got afraid. Look at verse 20. But he said unto them, it is I, don't be afraid. Now here's my miracle. I'm going to show you why it's underappreciated and overlooked. Verse 21. Then, so they're halfway across. How many feel like, you know, you're halfway there, and you know what? You've been rowing so much, you're halfway across, and you made it the first half. But I'm serious, man. Sometimes I've raised my hand and said, you know what? I don't have the other half in me, man. I don't have the other half. I've rowed. Man, I'm rowed out. So you yelling at me, telling me, the guy next to me telling me, row harder. It's not going to help me because I'm just rowed out. I've rowed till my little arm's about ready to fall off. I can't row anymore. I know, well, yeah, but we're only halfway across. This storm's coming, and this is really bad. They're halfway across. Jesus shows up, says, don't be afraid. Well, I may not be afraid, but I'm worn out. I got another problem. But look what happened. Then they willingly received him in the ship. That'd be one part of your answer right there. You need to get Jesus on board your ship. You need to get Jesus, get him on board your ship. Get him in your life. Get him in your private life. Get him in your personal relationships. Get him working in your heart. Get him on your boat. Get him in the midst of your family. Get him in, praise God, in every single part of your life. Get Jesus on that boat. You can't row that boat any longer without him being on board. Amen. Then they willingly received him into the ship. They willingly received him into the ship. Now watch, here's my miracle. And immediately, the ship was at land where they were going. Now, if you just read that, you'd be, wait a minute. No, wait a minute, man. Huh? Jesus comes, stands there. They received him into the ship. They were halfway across. And when Jesus stepped on board their boat, immediately, that ship that was only halfway across the water Immediately, look what that says, the ship was at the land where they were going. You know, this is the most underpreached miracle in the Bible. If you get Jesus to get on board your boat when you are all rowed out, when Jesus stepped on board that boat, immediately Jesus took them the other half of the way. Hallelujah. Woo! Yes. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I said, yes, he did. Some of you are halfway across. Some of you are almost, you're halfway where you're going, and you're rowed out. You've been in the ministry too long. You've been working too hard. You've been messing with people too long, and you've done all this stuff, and the answer is not, let's all of us row harder. My God, we don't have any row harder left. And Jesus comes marching on the water. They willingly received him into the ship. And as soon as Jesus' feet touched that boat, the other half of the way was taken by the Holy Ghost. And the boat, huh? How much rowing did they do in the second half of the journey? Just do this for me. Do the Pastor Crab thing. Everybody close your eyes right now. Close them real tight. What do you see? That's how much work they did right there. None. My God, I'm telling you by the Spirit of God today, Sister Beth, I'm telling you Jesus is getting on board your boat. I don't care how long you've done this, how tired you are of rowing. I'm telling you somebody's getting on your boat. And when his feet touch your boat, he's going to take you the rest of the way. And it's going to be without any of this. It's not because I rode faster. Huh? Come on, Jerry. You're an elder. Row faster. Sarah, we got to row faster. Harder. Come on. You can do it. Come on. Come on, pastor's children. Come on. Row, row, row your boat. No. I'm telling you, Pastor Mark, I'm telling you, Jesus is going to get on our boats, and when he gets us on that, when he comes aboard, he's going to, all that, you know, all those guys on that boat, it took all of them and all their human effort to get halfway across. And then they got, I think Jesus did it on purpose. I think he waited till they were rowed out. Some of us, you know what I mean. You know, you see a guy like Bob, man. Bob's just got a work ethic. It's just crazy, man. He's a rower, aren't you? He's a rower, man. And I will tell you right now, Brother Bob is the kind of guy, he doesn't like it, man, when he's rowing and everybody else is sitting around watching him row. Huh? I'm going to go over here when I talk about it. He may get a, huh? You know what? I guarantee you, if we were on that boat together and Bob Ward was on that boat, if he'd be rowing and he'd be looking. He'd be looking, wouldn't you? He'd be looking to see, hey, you two, hey, buckos over there, you two aren't pulling your weight. Row harder and row faster. But Jesus waited until even good old Bob Ward was rowed out. He waited till Pastor Crab was shot, tired, had it, gone as long as I can. And I've got no more human effort to put into the thing. I can't row anymore. My little arm's coming off. I've been doing it too long, tired. But I still got to get to that shore. Jesus comes at the right time, and he comes and gets on that boat, and immediately... I love that word, man. I don't mean, well, it took a little time to get some momentum going. Jesus said, play that one again, Trenton, so I can get some wind in my sails and move it down the thing. Huh? No. Immediately. I'm not talking, listen, when God moves, I'm telling you, God's going to fix it. God's going to get us where we're going, and it's not going to, somebody said it happened overnight. No, wait a minute, man. It happened way faster than overnight. He didn't need overnight. He didn't need all night. I'm telling you, he can do it. When he gets on board, he'll do it immediately. In other words, everything's going to change. The rest of the way, he's going to take you when you trust him and let him get on board that boat and do an immediate miracle for the glory of God. I think we ought to all stand up and lift our hands and let's give him some glory, because I'm telling you, there's immediate stuff coming by the grace and glory of God. There's immediate stuff coming. Your immediate is coming. Your immediate is coming. Your moment, your miracle is coming. Your miracle is coming by the grace of God. By the grace of the Holy Ghost. Your miracle is coming this morning by the glory of God. Let's praise him. How many need a miracle? How many are rode out? I'm tired. This isn't even a bad confession. I'm tired. I'm rode out. My arms are tired. I don't have it in me any longer. Bless God, but I'll tell you what, Jesus is getting on Pastor Crab's boat. And he's going to get me to the other side. He's going to get me to the other side. And he's going to get me there. All that effort that it took to get me the first half takes him no effort to finish me off and to get me where he's going. I believe God's got a miracle for a bunch of people this morning. If you need a second half of the way miracle, I want you to just knock somebody out of the way and run right up here to the front right now. We're going to pray together. Come on. If you need something, God to do something. If you need God to do something in your life to take you the rest of the way, to get you over the other side, I'm telling you, God is here this morning. By the power of the God, he's going to do it for us today. I said you can't do it because you're worn out. I said you can't do it because you're tired. If all of us together got together and tried to do it, we couldn't do it. But I'm telling you, if we'll let him get on board our boat today, God is going to take us there, and it's going to get there immediately. Somebody shout immediately. Immediately we're going to get to the other side. Let's just begin to praise him for a minute. Let's just thank him out loud this morning.
We trust you enjoyed this message. For more information about Pastor Jim Crab and Imago Dei, please visit our website at imagodeicincy.com. imagodeicincy.com.